Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So back to domestic politics here. What would we call this? Listen carefully now. Candor or cluelessness? Or maybe just the hyperbole of having to suck up to potential fundraisers.
There are 47% of the people who will vote for the president no matter what. All right, there are 47% who are with him, who are dependent upon government, who believe that they are victims, who believe that government has a responsibility to care for them, who believe that they're entitled to health care, to food, to housing, to you name it. But that's an entitlement, and the government should give it to them.
It's Mitt Romney there describing nearly half of America as self-loathing victims dependent on their federal payouts for housing, food, and health care. Does the candidate pay a price for those words, or is it simply the reality he thinks he's dealing with here in the electorate right now? In a few moments, we'll talk about the price of politics with legendary writer and political chronicler Bob Woodward, who's seen it all. His latest book is about the failure of leadership in Washington that led to the federal debt crisis. But first, Mitt Romney seeming to write off 47% of the U.S. electorate? Is this a strategy to play on divided voters? Is it a pandering pitch for money gone awry? Or again, is it an acknowledgement of a certain kind of reality right now? Todd Zwillick is Takeaway Washington correspondent. Todd, how is this playing as it ripples through the blogosphere and the other ospheres?
Well, John, the interesting thing about this latest episode for Mitt Romney is that it's not confined to the blogosphere or the Twitter sphere, those confined spheres of political junkies. No, this one has trickled out to the wider political spheres on network television and in the morning papers, which means anyone who consumes those media is seeing it. There are a couple of questions at play here. It's a gaffe for sure. We've had them throughout the campaign. You remember President Obama had a similar episode a long time ago when he was caught on tape in a fundraiser saying that a lot of America clings to their Bibles and guns and that they were sort of beyond his reach. It wasn't too dissimilar to this. Part of the real problem for Romney here, John, may not be that it's going to convince a lot of people in the so-called 47%, you know, people who do get government assistance, like the elderly who are on Medicare, or like people who get tax breaks, or veterans, for instance, who don't pay income tax because people in combat don't pay income tax when they're overseas, for instance.
Oil companies and the oil depletion allowance.
Well, I don't think Mitt Romney was talking about them necessarily.
Probably not.
He probably has their votes in this election. But I think the main difficulty here is an opportunity cost. Yet again, knocked off message at the very time when the Romney campaign, suffering from recriminations in Republican circles from within its own campaign about being disorganized, about the leader of the campaign, a fellow named Stuart Stevens, reporting by Politico over the weekend that the campaign is essentially in disarray and was being pressured.
Are they really off message? I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I sort of smell the crisis going on. But here's what Romney said at a news conference last night.
It's a message which I'm going to carry and continue to carry, which is, look, the president's approach is attractive to people who aren't not paying taxes because, frankly, my discussion about lowering taxes isn't as attractive to them, and therefore I'm not likely to draw them into my campaign as effectively as those who are in the middle.
He's standing by his message here.
Yeah, he more or less is. He said it was inelegantly stated, which is often what politicians say when they don't completely want to reverse course. There are a couple problematic things about what he said. One, saying that these are people who are dependent on the government and view food and housing as an entitlement that the government owes them.
Yeah.
The reality of the 47% that Mitt Romney's talking about is that the vast majority of them are seniors on Medicare, whom Romney and Paul Ryan have pledged to protect, not to roll off of government rolls, people who may not pay income taxes, but they do pay payroll taxes, which means they are earning their Medicare and Social Security and would continue to under a Paul Ryan, Mitt Romney administration. Only when you break down the numbers, only 8% of the actual 47% that Mitt Romney's talking about, John, are people who work but don't pay taxes largely because they don't make enough money, largely because of Republican tax policies. It complicates it.
Do the math here. 47% he has no access to, electorally speaking, because they're bought and paid for by the Obama administration or some such logic. Everybody else, the other 53%, he describes as being in the middle. How does that even work? I can't divide up the circle and make that work.
Well, we would have to be making some jumps for Mitt Romney to decide that. I don't think he would say that. I think a portion of the other 50% in Mitt Romney's mind would be his base. Some of who may be some of the same people as on the other side. It's a little bit twisted to figure out. Much of those would be the base. I think Mitt Romney probably would subscribe, and he does in his statement. He says 5 to 10% of people in the middle, who he describes as thoughtful, who are willing to vote the other way, are the people he needs to get. And that's pretty much true. 10% is a very generous slice, but that is basically the dynamic that we are seeing in this election. Interestingly, it is not the case that the 47% that Mitt Romney thinks are against him automatically because they get government benefits are all for Barack Obama.
Right,
Mitt
exactly.
Romney is polling ahead among seniors.
Indeed.
There's some electoral math problems there. It's what it sounds like is very similar to what President Obama was doing in front of his donors when he said that a lot of conservatives cling to Bibles and guns.
Right.
Telling donors what they want to hear.
Let's listen to on another subject that may be a little more dangerous. Here he is talking about Mitt Romney is talking about the Palestinians.
And I look at the Palestinians not wanting to see peace anyway for political purposes, committed to the destruction and elimination of Israel. And these thorny issues, and I say, there's just no way. And so what you do is you say you move things along the best way you can. You hope for some degree of stability, but you recognize this is going to remain an unsolved.
Now, this seems to be at odds with the facts. There are Palestinians who are committed to the destruction of Israel, but to say as a blanket category that all Palestinians don't want to see peace is to deny 25 years of the peace process.
It's also contrary to the Republican Party platform, which explicitly supports a two-state solution.
There's
with
that.
Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. But that may play differently. Keep in mind, this fundraiser was in Florida, wealthy donors in Florida, where conventional political wisdom says there are a lot of Jewish voters and they want a Republican to be hawkish about Israel. I don't have any facts to back that up, but I'm trying to get inside the mind of Mitt Romney for you, maybe. Or maybe he has an opinion about Israel that runs contrary to the Republican platform.
It's very clear, Todd Zwelle, like at the next fundraiser, they're going to be asking people to turn their iPhones off.
I think they did in the first place, but that failed.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Todd Zwelle, on Mitt Romney.
Pleasure.